Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
The head of the union that represents TriMet is arrested for drunk driving. Anti-police protesters damage a building. And more birds drop from the sky.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed to your new god, Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, January 4th, 2011. The head of the union representing TriMet drivers is facing DUI charges after he allegedly fell asleep drunk in a car at a traffic light in Gresham. At first reported in the Oregonian, Jonathan Hunt was booked into the Multnomah County Jail on December 27th and charged with driving under the influence of intoxicants. Police said Hunt, 40, was driving a car registered to the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 757 when he was arrested. Investigators said he was stopped at a red light at Southeast 181st and East Burnside when a Gresham officer pulled up behind him and noticed he was slumped over at the wheel. The officer said further investigation revealed Hunt was drunk and had passed out in the car.
I love things that are amalgamated, by the way. Not as much as things that are aggregated, also things that are conflated. But, you know, amalgamated, yes, I give them a strong thumbs up in general. Also, it's wrong to drink and drive. I mean,
right.
You know, just in case anybody's actually listening.
Hunt leads the union representing TriMet bus drivers, train operators, mechanics, and maintenance staff.
I think the larger issue here is that people from TriMet can't hold their liquor. Isn't that right, Dawn? Back me up.
Yes.
That's right,
them.
Sissies.
So you should practice more, train operators and bus drivers.
That's Dawn Taylor who said that. Rick Emerson doesn't endorse that sort of approach to life.
Hunt apologized during an interview with the Oregon and said he, quote,
I took the rabbit to the wrong house.
He said, I made a mistake.
Okay.
He also pledged to work harder for the union. You know, I guess when he's conscious.
Somewhere there's a giant baby with like a, there's a giant baby, you know, with like a two tiny parents. And then a giant with a jeweler's glass.
More than two dozen people took to the streets in Northeast Portland Monday night, protesting police and damaging a Northeast Portland business. Protesters spray-painted anarchist logos and broke the glass on a door at a Wells Fargo bank and chanted, no cops, no KKK, no fascist USA.
That's awesome. And by awesome, I mean ridiculous. Oh, that's wonderful. By the way, I will skip over the obvious irony that it was an organized protest by anarchists and go right to the
No cops, no KKK. What is it? Something
no
in your Chevrolet?
No fascist USA.
That's fantastic. Just, you know what we call that? That in songwriting circles, that's called fill in the meter, kids. You just got a few syllables. You just got to pad it out. Just say anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know,
that really has a terrible rhythm, though.
Yeah, I want a cafe au lait.
That's like positively Bruce Springsteenian in its just cramming extra syllables in where they don't actually belong.
Yes.
The group eventually broke up after marching to the police bureau's traffic division office. They were protesting four recent officer shootings, including one that killed a man in southeast Portland on Sunday. Yesterday, Mayor Sam Adams met with Police Chief Mike Reese to discuss the shootings. He said something needs to be done.
Oh, I think we all know what needs to be done, don't we, Dawn?
Sam Adams said, "Maybe we should stop shooting so many people."
No, see, and I was totally on the opposite side of the equation there, answer-wise. I was thinking, look, we're already paying out all these lawsuits. You know, we've already got kind of a black eye in the police department right now, and it's going to be a while before people are, you know, confident that the police aren't just going to unload on them. And we got all these jackasses that are breaking windows. I think we know what needs to be done. And what needs to be done is some taking out of the trash, Sam Adams.
Well, I think that would probably be Police Chief Mike Reese's position. I'm sure the conversation...
That's Rick Emerson's position, by the way.
I'm sure the conversation went something like Sam Adams saying, hey, dude, stop shooting so many people. And Mike Reese said, they're bad guys. They was asking for it. And Sam Adams said, really, no, it kind of looks bad that we keep shooting people. And Mike Reese said, screw you, Sam Adams. And he slapped him across the face. And then there were fisticuffs.
In my head, are you doing like a South Park thing there? Are you being Eric Cartman? Are you like Dawn Taylor as the newscaster, as Eric Cartman, as somebody else?
No, that's just all.
And he's upbraiding like Tom Hanks or somebody? Why do I have it in my head that you're...
I just
no, no, Pilot Panstone or something. I can't quite put it all together. Where was this happening? Hold on. You said it, but I've forgotten. But I'm just gonna guess.
The protest.
Yeah, don't tell me though, because I actually have forgotten. But I'm just gonna guess. Northeast Portland.
Yes.
It's always in Northeast Portland.
Oh, yeah.
It's either if it's not right at Pioneer Courthouse Square, where you can also panhandle. It's always in Northeast Portland for reasons that sort of. I mean, that's not like where the cops aren't like headquartered. In Northeast Portland, they're at City Hall. That's where the police department that's where the shots are called out of,
but there,
right?
There is a big community policing outpost in Northeast Portland. That's where the traffic division office is. So I think it's like an easy... It's easy to park. It's easy to get there on the bus because, you know, you're average anarchist.
What with your anarchy and all, you can take public transportation.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, I love people. Just in their sheer baffling but always entertaining ignorance, they continue to provide us fodder day in and day out. It's almost like they exist for the sole purpose of giving us grist for the daily mill. God bless ye, Portland anarchists and assembled morons of every stripe. God bless ye.
No cops, no KKK. Does anybody have any bus fare? Because I got to get back to Southeast. And
I was still trying to come up with another clumsy rhyme, like a no cops, no KKK. I already said Cafe Au Lait. I already said CVUSA in your Chevrolet. What else do we have? I was trying to do something with Ricky Martin just because it seemed like it would be funny. But there's really... Nothing rhymes with she bangs.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, in any event.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I'm just saying, God forbid... the next time this happens, I mean, you know, triggers are, you know, I mean, look, the guns are, you know, guns are like anything else. It's a piece of equipment, and sometimes it just works incorrectly. God forbid you should just shoot one of those guys in the face. I mean, it's, you know.
I totally got it. No cops, no KKK, no more movies by Michael Bay.
Okay, no, I'm with you. Okay, I can feel that.
Yeah.
All right, that resonates, as they say. That rings out. Hi, you're listening to Legion of News right here on Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, January 4th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news. As though this hasn't been entertaining enough. I mean, really, honestly. I mean, it's almost like your brain is lucky that it can contain all of the entertainment that we've already conveyed in just the scant 8.5 minutes of broadcast so far today. Now everything sounds like a rhyme in my head. I got to stop that. Now, also Science on the March and so forth. You can get this program later on today via iTunes, also as a direct MP3 download here, or legionofnews.com, and it's available on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile Cascadia.fm coming up next hour, by the way, at RickEmersonShow.com. We got your Hick Watch, also your Clown Watch, and Top 5. Plus, we are unveiling installment, the first of our brand new contest. What is it called, Don?
Name That Snack.
There you go. Right now it's set on chamber. I'm gonna set it to cathedral later on, and we'll try that reverb.
You know, reverb seems to work better when you have a lower voice.
Yeah, if you got like a deeper register.
When I have like my lady voice, just doesn't sound quite as impressive.
Here's the thing: you're using reverb. What really is necessary, I think, is echo, which adds the aural illusion of the deepening of the sound as opposed to the simple repetition of the sound. Although it's possible that I'm reversing those two things. Mm. Café au lait.
Okay.
Here's Don Taylor.
Only days after thousands of dead red-winged blackbirds fell from the sky in Arkansas, the same thing happened again in Louisiana. State authorities say about 500 dead blackbirds and starlings have been found along a quarter-mile stretch of highway in Pointe Coupee Parish, Louisiana. Biologists spent yesterday collecting the bodies, and samples have been sent off to federal labs for analysis. State wildlife veterinarian Jim LaCour says it doesn't appear to be related to the bird kill in Arkansas, but it's still too early to know for sure.
Try to determine if there's any common factor, if we see anything environmentally in the location where the birds are, if there's obvious contaminants or obvious causes of death, and we'll open up some of the birds and see if there's any obvious growth lesions on necropsy.
Look, here's the thing. I'm not a scientist, but where was the last one? Arkansas?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got two states that basically nobody wants or has any use for to begin with. And also, but if you just had, like, in Arkansas, if you just had 1,500 people just fall over in the street, and then the next day, if you had 1,500 people just fall over in the street in Louisiana, even if it didn't bother you all that much, you might say to yourself, could there be a connection?
It's probably related in some way.
Yeah, look, maybe there's just some sort of correlative difficulty here that I'm not sussing out, but I mean, you know.
I think this all reads like one of these things, like from a horror movie, you know, the end of days, and the government going, oh, don't worry about it.
The public is in no danger at any time.
No, seriously, you shouldn't worry about this. While the birds in Arkansas were found to have died from blood clots and internal injuries, it's not yet clear whether the Louisiana birds fell victim to the same cause of death. Remember yesterday, those birds in Louisiana, they were saying they were just scared to death.
Yeah.
Today.
Sort of a deep unnerving.
Yeah. Today they're saying they died from blood clots and internal injuries.
By the way, just a little FYI for me to you. Everybody dies of internal injuries. Now, maybe that's caused by something on the outside of your body, but everybody dies of an internal injury. Nobody.
Well, especially if you fall something.
Yeah, like, you know, nobody dies because your toenails fall off. I mean, everything is ultimately an internal injury. Let's try to use the language with a minimum of abuse, shall we?
Paul Slota, a spokesman for the U.S. Geological Survey's National Wildlife Center, said that while the mass bird deaths are alarming, they're not terribly unusual. He added the center's records confirm this point. Over the past three decades, there have been at least 16 events involving blackbirds where at least 1,000 of the birds died seemingly all at once. Dr. Jim LaCour, the Louisiana wildlife veterinarian, he says some of the birds that fell yesterday were still alive when they fell from the sky, but they died quickly.
How does he know that? Before I even get to
the
audio.
They did autopsies, I guess.
What, did the birds, I regret nothing. You know, I mean, what?
I don't know.
How would you possibly know that the birds were still alive as they fell? Unless you had just like some bird cam in the middle of, you know, goddamn nowhere.
Well, I suppose it's one of those forensics things like they do on people. You can tell if the bird died from blood trauma.
Hold on. Oh, damn. Okay, wait. No.
What, you have something here?
Okay, well, you know, I'll come back to it. All right, what's this soundbite here?
This is birds, too.
They look okay, then they get ataxic or wobbly and weak, and then they die in a short period of time.
So this is one of those things where he really, you know he doesn't know, but you're just sort of like you have no choice but to believe him, right? Because it's like, what do you know? Yeah, the answer, you know, like we have no knowledge of this one way or the other. Okay.
Well, he is the state wildlife veterinarian. If anyone would be able to do an autopsy on blackbirds, it would probably be Jim LaCour.
Hold on. Let me see if I can do this. This is already not going to be nearly as good as it would have been if it had been truly ad hoc.
Okay.
But I got to give it a little bit of a, I got to give it just a little bit of a try here, or I suck. No, the answer is, wait, no. Yeah, sources point to suck.
You don't have it. Do you have any The Who?
I was going
CSI
for the,
music.
I was totally just scrambling looking for The Who thing. Which, by the way, how lame am I as a kooky radio host that I don't have the CSI Miami shout like the Horatio thing? Just sort of, you know.
I know that should be just right at your fingertips.
They call it speed dating. Only our victim had 15 dates.
Well, you know what they say, Frank. Speed kills.
Yeah. See. Now, let's see if I have the actual... There we go.
There we go.
All right, hold on. Let me see. Now, let's see if I can... This is like the longest way to go for a... It's the longest way to go for something that, by the way, can now no longer...
Speed dating.
You know, we're entertaining ourselves, though. That's the important thing.
Well, you know what they say, Frank. Speed kills.
All right. So then, you were doing the whole story.
Right.
And then you have to imagine me taking off my sunglasses. And then
Well, here, get the Who thing ready. I can do this.
I don't even want to do it now because it's going to be so anticlimactic. But I have to. I mean, it's like, now I can't. It's going to be like not scratching an itch. All right, fine, go ahead. Just give me a setup.
No, it's a setup for the sound because I've got my Horatio thing.
All right, okay. You're going to do it?
I'm going to do it.
I've got one that's terrible.
Okay, no, I've got a good one.
Okay.
You know what they call a bird that falls from the sky? An eavesdropper.
Okay. That would be
falling from the roof, but you know.
Yeah. I was going to do the bye-bye blackbird indeed.
They call it speed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Yours is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We should have gone with yours.
Yeah. And then also I should have just been prepared for this cuz you know when you see the man behind the curtain like this, it's just it's not as good. All right. Let's try that again next hour.
Okay. I'll put that aside and we'll talk that again next time. A Puerto Rico man accused of attacking his family with gasoline and a blowtorch has been charged with murder after two of his alleged victims died from their wounds. 45-year-old Justino Sanchez Diaz has been arrested on attempted murder charges for the New Year's Day attack. But the Island Justice Department announced Monday that a 17-year-old niece and 32-year-old cousin of Sanchez have died from their burns. Seven others were injured. The Seattle Times reports that two Seattle residents, Kate Donahue and Jesus Sanchez, are among the injured. The two were celebrating their recent engagement.
Uh-huh.
The Times says the arrested man is an uncle of Jesus Sanchez. The arrested man, Mr. Diaz, sprinkled gasoline around a room Saturday at his parents' home in the northern town of Florida, Puerto Rico, and then set it on fire with a blowtorch as 13 family members gathered for a meeting. The motive was unknown.
So this is, in what town was this in?
This was in the town of Florida, Puerto Rico. It's in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Okay, but the town is actually called Florida?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, have we considered the fact that maybe the name itself is cursed in some way?
That could be it, yes.
All right. Oh, by the way, in case, should we ever need this in the future? Let's see, I think I've got a... there we go. Okay. So we're prepared.
Bye-bye, birdie.
Okay.
Okay.
We have to be done with it. We have to give ourselves a moratorium, and that we're just going to. I can just see the rest of the show just being that.
That would go.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Next hour, you'll get to hear this a whole lot more. Also, we'll have Hick Watch, Clown Watch coming up, and Top 5 Plus will unveil our exciting new contest. What is it called, Don?
Name That Snack.
There was no point to use that there. I just wanted to. Here's Don Taylor.
As discussed yesterday, the Navy is investigating a series of sexually charged videos, although that seems to be a little overstating it, produced and shown to the crew of the USS Enterprise. They feature a man identified as Captain Owen, not owner, as it said in the story I read yesterday.
His name yesterday was identified as being, it was like Owner Medals or
Owner Honors.
Owner Honor, Owner Victory.
And I believe, again, spell check, the bane of news writers everywhere. If you write news stories, double check your names and don't rely on your spell check. Captain Owen Honors. Legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin says he's likely to face some form of disciplinary action.
There is a lot of bigotry on that video. It is anti-gay, it is anti-woman, and it's not right. And I don't think someone like that should be commanding a ship. Whether they should lose their whole job in the Navy, I don't know.
So now, what is this guy, I want to make sure that I got it. Owen,
yeah.
Honor?
Owen Honors.
Honors. So what is his alleged role in the whole thing?
He was the
Just the guy in charge when it happened?
He was the executive officer on the ship. This actually happened a few years ago. He was the executive officer on the ship, basically second in command. And His part of his job is to basically be sort of a public information officer to make sure that information is disseminated to the crew about things like don't take really long showers, you know, wait your line in the mess, wait your turn in the mess hall.
Any man doesn't clean his plate gets a nut in the box.
Yeah, put your seatbelt on when you're driving the Jeep, you know, that kind of thing. And part of how they disseminate that information is they use the closed circuit television system on the aircraft carrier. And so he decided, since, rightly or wrongly, he decided that since an awful lot of the sailors he was trying to communicate with these things to are like 18, 19, 20 years old.
I'll speak in their language.
I will speak in their language. I'll be edgy like those reality shows and that MTV that the kids are all watching.
Get me a woman to shave.
So he did these sort of, these profane, sort of racy, and reportedly, I haven't watched any of them, but reportedly actually pretty funny, sort of, you know, Judd Apatow humor level videos to get this information across and to entertain the bored sailors. Of course, the problem with this being that, you know, an aircraft carrier is still a workplace. And some people were offended by the level of humor and the anti-gay tone of some of the comedy and that sort of thing. So the thing is, he's not facing any kind of, so far, it's not any kind of legal thing. It's purely an administrative thing where they're trying to decide if he should be reprimanded. And it's become this huge story, I think, just because it's a slow news period we're in right now.
It just seems like if you're, you know, if you're sitting on board a ship whose sole purpose is to be out there so that you can occasionally be shot at instead of like somebody shooting at me or in fact to shoot at somebody, I don't know. Just seems like in the grand scheme of things, it's you know, I don't know. Did you get that email? If we got a listener
this morning? I was actually just about to read that.
It's one of those things where we got a listener who emailed and he was noting something a point we didn't make yesterday,
well,
but which I suppose
is
great.
I have it right here. He says,
where he talks about the sort of weird humor that
he says, I've done two army tours in the Middle East and there are huge periods of intense boredom. I know a lot of people that have made some questionable videos. Soldiers and sailors have warped senses of humor. While the commander displayed poor decision making when he participated in making the shows, probably they were tailored to his crew. The bits I've seen on the news are actually pretty funny. Combat is one of the most stressful things people can be involved in. It's really annoying when people completely detach from that situation, get all indignant when things troops do to relax, especially harmless ones like this, don't fit with their worldview. Many view the military as either demons or angels instead of real people with the same issues everyone else has, plus all the killing and dying.
By the way, the best part there is in that email how he says, people who are completely detached from military experience, and then he puts, "Not you, Rick and Don, because we're fresh. We're fresh back from the NAM."
Right.
We are. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I will say this: that I mean, and I don't have military experience. I'm actually I'm in many ways the shame of my family. So I'm one of the few people in my family that has not served in the military at all. But I will say that like 80% of the people you know, that I'm in close contact with, you know, in my family, work in the medical profession to some degree. And you know, you and I both had cops as dads. And I have never known a cop or a physician or a nurse who did not have, like, the vilest, darkest, most reprehensible sense of humor, like in the most glorious way, which I think is just a reaction. I think that's just how the human mind or the minds of a lot of people just operate in that kind of situation or that sort of, you know, under those circumstances. So, well, whatever. They'll figure it out. I'm just saying, it's good to know that the workplace, you know, must be a bastion of respect and professionalism and upright, mature behavior at all times. Here's Don Taylor.
A federal court will allow a Pennsylvania woman to go forward with a lawsuit accusing Donald Duck of groping her in Florida's Walt Disney World theme park.
Okay.
Since the 2008 incident, April Magellan claims she's been suffering from post-traumatic stress in the form of nightmares, digestive problems, and other permanent injuries, and has accused Disney of chronically failing to discipline its grabbier characters. Magellan was unavailable for comment, but her lawsuit claims that Disney has a long and torrid history of covering up similar scandals. In 2004, Florida officials received 24 complaints in a week after Tigger was accused of molesting a teenage girl and her mother.
Sorry, something in my throat.
According to MSNBC, these charges can fly in both directions. Last year, a Pennsylvania man was convicted of groping Minnie Mouse.
What is this woman's name?
April Magellan or Magolan.
Is the lawsuit taking time away from her other career as a planet-dominating robot somewhere? Okay. Rom the Space Knight has stepped in her stead.
Yes.
All right. They're grabbier characters.
They're grabbier characters.
Is Donald known to be, is he known to be a duck of wandering wings?
I don't know. I think whenever you get, like, teenagers and young people in suits like that, plus, you know, it's really hot in there and it gets really boring. And also, I think there's also a problem. There's difficulty seeing. And there has been a history with Disney of sometimes, you know, the characters that actually have hands that function, putting their arms out blindly to put their arm around someone for a photo.
Grab your boob.
Yeah, exactly. And then people getting pissed and like trying to file a lawsuit about it or something. And then just trying to go, look, I can see about like 4 inches in every direction through the goofy head. All right. You know, I'm doing the best I can here.
Guess I'm filing a deposition. I like the idea, by the way, that it's caused her digestive problems. Like maybe...
Oh, I know. She has post-traumatic stress from, like, you know, Donald's hands wandering during a photo op.
We should have her talk to the guy in the aircraft carrier, and they can share horror stories of the difficulties of combat, because it sounds like she's really been through the ringer. I like the idea that Donald went to pose for a photo and ended up blocking her alimentary canal somehow. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, January 4th, 2011. Coming up next hour, Rick Emerson Show, .com. Your Hick Watch, Clown Watch, your Top 5, and all that. Here is Don Taylor.
A man distracted the lone clerk at Kasab Jewelers on Monday afternoon, jumped a counter, and stole gems from an open safe. The suspect's image was caught on security cameras during the 2 p.m. theft of the store on North State Street in Lake Oswego. The suspect is a white man, aged 20 to 30, about 6 feet and 160 pounds. He was wearing a black jacket, gray scarf, black baseball cap with gray writing on the front, khaki jeans, and thick black ski gloves. He fled on foot with a store box in hand. Police quickly surrounded the store and searched the area with a canine. The suspect was not found. But again, though, he was on camera, so they're probably going to catch him very soon. But yeah, he stole $50,000 in diamonds from a jewelry store in Lake Oswego just by jumping over the counter and running away.
You know, I figured a jewelry store, though, it must be like a casino where they probably just... I think if they run a jewelry store, they must almost just assume at this point that no one is dumb enough to try to rob it. And that's how you can, because they just figure that, like, nobody can be such a fool. Like that guy that told the $1.5 million in chips or something about it. They must figure that, like, you know, because you always hear that thing in Vegas that, like, you can just, I mean, I've done this a million times, where you get up to use the bathroom or, you know, get food or something, you just leave all your stuff at the table because, like, it's the safest place on earth.
Yeah.
And they just figure that nobody could possibly be dense enough to walk into a jewelry store and just grab a bag full of things, which is apparently, although then it raises the issue of, like, is this another one of those, like, half-smart crimes, or is it a completely smart crime? Like, does he have a guy to move the wares, to fence them? Because if you don't, because then you're just they're trying to, like, you know, to buy a jar of Adam's peanut butter with, like, a ruby or something, and that doesn't work out.
Yeah, because I wouldn't know what to do with, like, a box full of diamonds.
Did you ever ask
even know how to find somebody to move a box full of diamonds.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did you ever just, you know, when you hear a story like this, do you ever ask yourself, like, well, what would I do in a similar position?
Yeah.
Like, if I had to move a bunch of, like, hot ice or something, or if I just, like, had...
Hot ice.
Or whatever they, whatever the kids call it now. You know, like, a guy just gives you, like, a bunch of the banded money, you know, stacks. From the bank, and it's just like, and you got to get rid of this because it might be marked, and you have to launder it. I mean, then it becomes the whole Office Space thing where you realize you just have no idea because that is a world, I think, most times that one works their way into gradually.
Yeah.
Because you start by just being some dirtbag behind a bowling alley smoking, like, you know, the end of a cigarette, like, out of a gutter. You know, smoking something out of a spittoon.
Then you run some errands for a guy. Then you drive a van for somebody. And then eventually, at some point...
And then, like, 60 years later, you know a guy that can fence merchandise for you. You know, but before because otherwise, the first guy you ask will be a cop. That's just the way the universe works.
And anyone I could ask would just go, that I would trust enough to ask, would just go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why? Do you have, like, a big box full of diamonds? And I'd have to go, no.
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 And then you'd end up like, and then you have
never mind.
You know, then you have to dig a grave, and it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Awesome. Here's your science on the march for Tuesday, February 4th, 2011.
The emotion of disgust is universal, strong, and easy to invoke. A single disgusting photo is all it takes for most of us to say, ew. According to a paper published today in the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society, It's for good reason. Just as fear protects us from a lion that might eat us, disgust is quite similar. It keeps us away from tiny little animals that would eat us up from the inside. We've evolved to stay away from poo, from bodily fluids, from mucus, and from foods that have gone bad.
Who wrote this story? Was this written down to the American fifth grade reading level, or was this in fact written by a fifth grader? Because in the space of 5 seconds, I heard who, which I'll let slide, so to speak. But then right before that, I heard animals that will, quote, eat us up from the inside.
Okay, well, I may have.
Did you augment that?
I kind of moved some things around.
Well, that's
fine. That particular line, I'm just quoting the person, and I didn't feel like saying, says so-and-so.
That's
so
fine. So if you're repeating a colloquialism, okay.
It's not just humans that have this reaction. Even nematode worms, who have just 302 neurons, can recognize parasitic bacteria in a petri dish and crawl the other way. While the emotion is universal, it's flexible. We can learn to be disgusted by new things, and its intensity varies from person to person, depending on the circumstances. Individual differences can be measured by tests of disgust sensitivity, which scores how disgusted people are by typical things like feces and rotten meat.
Or Jocelyn Wildenstein.
Yes.
See?
Disgust may have evolved to protect us from pathogens, but it can also go too far. Types of obsessive-compulsive disorders are thought to result from disgust sensitivity taken to the extreme, such as obsessive hand-washing or boiling tea water multiple times before drinking it. More controversially, some argue that the effects of a disgust are even more far-reaching, influencing how societies operate and possibly forming the evolutionary foundations of morality. According to the lead researcher, if I go around leaving poo in your front yard, or spitting in your cups, or making nasty smells in public transport, or if I go to the church in my pajamas, I'm threatening you with my bodily fluids. These are manners, but they're also the precursor of moral behavior. That's at least one of the ways that morality could have evolved in society. Simple rules about not getting other people sick with your emanations.
Well, and also maybe not like eating pork that's been sitting out for a week and a half.
Well, that too. But also, you know, disgust, though, being grossed out by things is an evolutionary thing that developed to help keep us from eating things that are bad or from going places that things might harm us.
Yeah, well, I think, morality and then to a, I would say, a large degree, superstition, it just evolved out of not really knowing how stuff works consciously. And so your subconscious or your primal lizard self sort of sussing out the answer in some vague primordial way. Or just sort of thinking everything was a god that might smite you. And so trying to be really nice to it and, like, you know, leaving it alone or not like effing with it in any way. I had some other Jocelyn Wildenstein joke I was going to make, but it's gone.
No.
I am going to say this, though, by the way, if I... never mind. You know, I'm not. I was going to say the thing, and then it's like, it's... No, it's just... It's from something like 15 minutes ago. I will instead replace it,
okay,
Folger's Crystal style, with this comment from somebody who says that he saw the protest that we talked about at the top of the show.
Uh-huh.
He saw it happening. He said, I swear to God, I saw a guy with an anarchist sign waiting at a don't walk signal. There you go. So just FYI. Here's Don Taylor.
NASA may have to get rid of some of its astronauts. A cut to the astronaut corps is under review. NASA has 63 astronauts, all of whom have flown in space. It has 9 astronaut trainees who are hoping for their first flights, but it has no launches planned from the United States after the shuttle retires. Whether the Kennedy Space Center's last two or three launches, After the Kennedy Space Center's last two or three launches, a federal panel is considering whether the agency really needs more than 70 astronauts. Astronaut salaries range from $64,000 to $141,000 per year. The astronauts of the 1960s had a chance to move on to Skylab and the shuttle, but now NASA has no other missions planned. Commercial launches such as SpaceX are hoping to get into the human spaceflight business. If they do, it's not clear who or how many would get to fly on them. Several astronauts have resigned recently. The report from the National Academy of Sciences is expected to be complete in several months.
Who resigns from your job as an astronaut? Well, that's just stupid. I mean, even if you don't do anything, even if it's just a lot of, you know, like sitting around the office and waiting for the phone to ring, which it never does.
Well, you might be older. You're not gonna get to fly. You realize they don't have any missions planned, and then you get an offer from like Richard Branson to come out plan his space casino or something.
Well,
then why not?
Okay. Well, I guess maybe. But I mean, the upside, as long as you stay that, you can just say, "What do you do for a living?" I'm an astronaut.
Yeah.
And there's only, I think, 65 other people in the entire world who can make that claim. So,
of course, now you can say, I'm an ex-astronaut.
Well, I was an astronaut. I did that for a while. Now I've moved on. I'm building a space casino. Yeah, no, that sounds good. You're right. Yeah. No, it's got a good ring to it. Hey, when are we going to quit putting space in front of things?
I hope never. I think it's awesome to put space in front of things.
Okay.
Space monkey. Space casino.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I forget exactly what it was, but it was something that we were, you know, it was floating around. And this is not like the space plane, but I mean, it was actually something that... It was something that it's... I forget exactly the example, but it was something where space was obviously put in front of the term to denote, like, its futuristic nature, except the future was now, but that was also, like, 50 years ago.
Of course, with the space plane, you did not believe that it was a plane, nor did you believe it was going into space.
I don't think I disputed that it was a plane. I said that because it was a plane, it was therefore not a spaceship. It was not going into outer space. You know, like your Southwest flight that's, you know, that takes you to Saskatchewan, that's not going into space.
No, because it's not a space plane.
It's in a space. It's not in space as an amorphous sort of concept. Skip it. That was last year. Here's Don Taylor.
More than 30 years after NASA's Viking landers found no evidence for organic materials on Mars, scientists say a new experiment on Mars-like soil shows that Viking did, in fact, hit pay dirt, so to speak. The new study was prompted by the August 2008 discovery of powerful oxygen-busting compounds known as perchlorates at the landing site of another Mars probe called Phoenix. Scientists repeated a key Viking experiment using perchlorate-enhanced soil from Chile's Atacama Desert, which is considered one of the driest and most Mars-like places on Earth, and found telltale fingerprints of combusted organics, the same chemicals Viking scientists dismissed as contaminants from Earth. Contrary to 30 years of perceived wisdom, Viking did detect organic material on Mars, planetary scientist Christopher McKay told Discovery News. It's like a 30-year-old cold suddenly solved with new facts. If the Viking team had said, well, maybe there's percolate in the soil, everybody would have said they're crazy. Why would there be perchlorates in the soil? It was only by having it pushed on us by Phoenix, where we had no alternative but to conclude there was perchlorate in the soil. Once you realize it's there, everything makes sense, he said.
First of all, the phrase oxygen busting in the early part of this story reminds me of Billy Mays for some reason, and I was overwhelmed by this intense but momentary flash of sadness as I remembered Billy Mays' death all over again. Second, perchlorate sounds like a product that they would sell in a late-night Billy Mays-esque television commercial. Like a thing that you would sort of, like a thing you would boil your dentures in to get them, you know, like cleaner than clean, whiter than white.
Yeah.
Finally, the idea that I can just analyze dirt in Arizona and learn things about Mars is a bit like saying that I'll know what it's like to have sex with Natalie Portman if I go bang a hooker on 82nd. You know, it doesn't really seem like it's... I mean, they're made of the same compounds in a general sense, but it seems like it's not really the same experience. I'm just saying.
Well, what they did was they put nutrient-laced water... They added it to a sample of the Martian soil. Then the air above the soil was monitored for signs that the nutrients had been metabolized, and then tracer gases were found, and then...
It's like saying that I would know what it's like to have sex with Natalie Portman if I stole some of her hair while she slept and then wrapped it around the head of a hooker on 82nd.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
There you go.
Well, see, why didn't I, you know, I should have come up with that, you know, from the beginning, and then it all would have been clear. All right, sorry. Rick Emerson regrets the error.
A miniature cow born in northern Colorado looks a lot like a panda bear thanks to some rare black and white markings. Larimer County farmer Chris Jensen discovered the new calf around 8 a.m. Friday. I just kind of assumed we were going to get a little black calf yesterday morning, and lo and behold, we have a little miniature panda calf, said Jensen. The band of white around the midsection and the black ovals around the eyes give him a panda-like appearance. It is the second panda cow to be born at Jensen's farm. There are only about 24 in the world, said Jensen.
Who?
Jensen.
Who? Sorry, I'm doing a thing there. You don't even know. You're an unwitting foil right there. I'm sorry.
Panda cows can sell at auction for $30,000 because of their unique demand as pets. The miniature cows are more of a unique collector's breed of cows, he said. The miniature cows are mostly for pets. They would cost too much for you to butcher or anything.
Uh-huh.
The new calf is named Ben, and in 5 or 6 months, he will be sold. I do a lot of training with these cows, said Jensen. So he'll be brought in. He'll be halter broke. I try to do as much training as I possibly can to make him as people-friendly and pet-friendly as possible.
Panda cow. So he not
Panda
only...
Cow.
So he... So not only... Let me understand this. So not only is he... Does he look... Does he have some of the facial or the coloration attributes of a panda?
Right.
But he's also tiny.
Right.
Oh, he's already the cutest thing ever, and
he
I haven't
is.
Even seen him.
He's a tiny panda cow.
Hey, how, let me just ask you this. Speaking
did I upload a photo of the panda cow yesterday?
No, because I believe that there were no representative photos. I think that was the thing, is the photo that you found, I thought you expressed some displeasure with it. You couldn't really find a photo that was, you know, that really conveyed the... By the way, how great was that photo that Cheryl sent you and I yesterday afternoon?
Oh, I know. The scary panda children.
By the way, if you'd like to see something unnerving, and who wouldn't, go to facebook.com/Rick Emerson, or you can go to my Twitter feed. It's twitter.rickemerson. Go to facebook.com/Rick Emerson. Look for the post where I describe Cheryl Kanakoa as being evil. It's safe for work, but it's not safe for the sanctity of your soul. Just click on the photograph and then... You can thank me or not later.
Also, I am sending a photo to of the panda cow.
Yeah, upload that.
To Rick Emerson pictures. So
it's just like that episode of Robin Big where they have the mini horse. There's just something adorable about a miniature horse. So a miniature cow, just as cute.
Or in South Park where they try to get the elephant to have sex with the potbelly pig, so Cartman could have a tiny elephant.
You know the best thing about that episode is how at the very beginning, when Stan has the elephant and they ask him where he got it, and he says, "I ordered it in the mail," and then they just sort of gloss over and then they move on. There's no question. No one ever queries how it is that the elephant arrived in the mail, because they got to get right to the guts of the episode. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
A memorial. Well, no, we don't want to read that one. That's sad.
Was that about midichlorians? It sounded like you were going to talk about midichlorians just there.
Wait, hold on. Give me 1 second.
Hey,
type the words panda cow.
Okay.
There we go.
This is a good time to tell you that. All right. This is a good time to tell you that coming up next hour on the Rick Emerson radio program, Hick Watch coming up, Clown Watch, and Top 5. That'll all be coming up next hour. You can find out more at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Authorities in New York City say a man who tried to jump to his death from his 9th-floor apartment was saved by a heap of trash bags that had gone... Oh, yeah, we're done with science.
Oh,
I just
really?
Realized we have science.
Well, that's too
I
bad.
I always do that.
All right.
I keep going, and then there's extra science music.
All right.
Authorities in New York City say a man who tried to jump to his death from his 9th-floor apartment was saved by a heap of trash bags that had gone uncollected since last week's blizzard. Fire officials say the 26-year-old was taken to Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan shortly after noon on Sunday. He was listed in critical but stable condition. His aunt tells the New York Post that it was lucky the city had the snow and hadn't cleared the garbage. She says her nephew told her recently he was worried about being evicted from his rent-stabilized apartment. The city resumed garbage pickup on Monday for the first time since the Christmas weekend blizzard dumped over 20 inches of snow on the city.
This is one of those things where they, it's up, by the way. I've checked. It's there.
Oh, okay. Well, because I'm sending another one.
Okay. So the panda cow, by the way, if you want to go to rickemerson.com /pictures, and then you look at visual aids for January 4th, you'll be able to see a picture of said panda cow.
Panda cow.
In films, that's a thing that happens in Manhattan all the time, apparently, where, you know, anytime a foot chase is ensuing, or one guy is sort of pursuing another guy down a hallway, somebody goes out a window, and then they land in a big bag of trash. And at no point does anybody who lands in the trash, like nobody ever lands on the trash bag that contains all of the many thousands of syringes that, that I would imagine just people in one square cubic foot of New York go through every day.
Or the wine bottles.
Yeah. By the way, this second photo of the panda cow I find a little unnerving because it, if you don't look too closely, it seems as like he's some sort of the mother alien preparing to lay eggs. Like there's a second cow or whatever behind him, but it looks like it's a second part of his sort of Giger-esque body, like he's... Anyway, but the thing about it is that if you look at the first picture of the panda cow... Okay, this is just weird beyond belief. Okay, I'm looking at these two panda cow pictures, which is a phrase that I never thought I would use in my time on this planet. You can see these at rickemerson.com/pictures, and then it's visual aids for January 4th, 2011. Picture the first, which is actually the one with the exclamation mark, where it just says, panda cow! It looks like he's just sitting up, like, in a chair, like a human being. Maybe as though he's sitting on a toilet of some kind, like sitting on some sort of an outhouse. Or he's just sitting there going, well, I guess I gotta get up and face the day.
No, somebody's holding him. There's a guy.
Yeah, but the guy blends into the background because it's all that taupe color.
Yeah.
And so it just sort of looks like he's sitting there going, well, what shall I do with my life? Shall I become a spelunker? What is a spelunker? And then if you look at the second photo, the coloration gives him that sort of kabuki mask, like the happy, sad drama mask thing, where you can see what looks like an expression from a long way away. And so what it looks like is a small, angry Gene Simmons-like cow is cross at you and is about to charge you, and I would imagine consume your soul.
Yeah, he does look kind of pissed off.
Yeah. No, he looks pissed off and evil.
But he is adorable.
Call it what it is.
He looks pissed off and evil, but adorable.
Like that kid in The Omen.
Like me.
Yeah, like you as well. Yes.
Yes.
I'm in no way comparing you to a cow, by the way. You're the one who did that. I'm just agreeing because that's what men do.
I'm more like a panda, really.
Sure. Here's Dante.
Round and adorable, and I roll around, and I'm lazy. But I'm much meaner than I look.
A diet consisting of leaves.
Yes, exactly. A fire Saturday at the Universal Studios Islands of Adventure theme park in Orlando, Florida, forced an evacuation of the area around the Ripsaw Falls attraction.
That just sounds like a safe place, doesn't it?
Ripsaw Falls?
Yeah. Where are you going? Arm Mangle Creek?
It'll be fun. For kids.
We're going to stop over in Sudden Death Lane before we take the kids to the DQ.
Orlando Deputy Fire Chief Greg Hoggett says the public was never in danger.
This was on an area of the ride above and over the actual ride process, not in an actual building.
This guest never saw the fire.
I was riding the Dragon's Challenge, and being from that high, my son turned around and said, "Dad, there's a fire over there." Looked off in the distance from over the Harry Potter, and just the sky was filled with smoke.
Okay, if you didn't know that this was a soundbite to an actual story that took place here on planet Earth in North America as we know it, just listen. I want you to listen back to this, pretending that you were from Mars or, you know, I don't know, from Middle Earth. And you don't really know the context for this.
I was riding the Dragon's Challenge, and being from that high, my son turned around and said, "Dad, there's a fire over there." Looked off in the distance from over the Harry Potter, and just the sky was filled with smoke.
And another Triwizard tournament is successfully completed. All right. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. By the way, did you see, I don't think I forwarded this to you, did you see where our latest, as of this morning anyway, I haven't checked in the last bit, we have a new subscriber from a foreign country, Don.
Well, we have many subscribers from foreign countries.
But I'm saying
countries.
The latest, our global influence continues to spread.
Have we moved to Africa?
You know, at one time... But, you know, now I'm conflating the two iterations of the show. I don't know if that's this version of the show or if it was when we were on 970, where there was somebody who listened to us in... Where the hell was it? I have a map somewhere where I was doing... It was like a Google sort of a thing where I was doing, like, the virtual pins of, like, everywhere we were... we were heard.
So what is our new country?
Well, I'll tell you next hour.
Can't be
giving it away.
Oh, damn it.
Literally or figuratively.
I'll have forgotten by then.
So that's coming up next hour. Hick Watch, Clown Watch, your top five and so forth. Plus, we'll unveil the first clue in our new contest. Name That Snack. I'm going to wait till I find the cathedral sound.
Okay, good.
That'll be Name That Snack starts next hour at rickemersonshow.com.
After much brainstorming to try and come up with a clever title for the contest.
By the way,
Name That Snack.
And Name That Snack, I didn't even come up with that. That's a lame idea. My wife came up with that. She's like, "How about Name That Snack?" And I'm like, "That's stupid." And then you just do the Gilligan, and I'm wearing a dress suddenly. So here's Don Taylor.
After being publicly disgraced and fined for sending lewd text messages and... I probably shouldn't say that word, but pictures of his penis, let's just say that, to a former sideline reporter, NFL superstar Brett Favre is back in the judicial spotlight again for alleged sexual harassment. Two former New York Jets massage therapists have filed suit against the Vikings quarterback for sending them dirty messages and propositioning them for a three-way in 2008. Neither Christina Scavo or Shannon O'Toole were rehired by the Jets after complaining about Favre to management. Christina Scavo claims that Favre treated her like a, quote, hanging slab of meat.
I'm sorry.
And sent her messages like, "Kinda lonely tonight. I guess I have bad intentions." And, "Brett here, you and Chrissy want to get together. I'm all alone." Favre refused to apologize when confronted by Scavo's husband, and the therapists were rebuffed for failing to deal with the issue internally.
Okay, first of all, not only does that not sound like a thing that Brett Favre would say based on what I've seen of Brett Favre, that doesn't sound like a thing that anybody would say, especially if you figure you're that guy and you just got like hot and cold running chicks. Like, it seems like, if you're Brett Favre or just anybody in that position, can't you just like call the coach and go like, hey, get me some sluts for tonight. And he says, that's sure thing, Brett. Redheaded, brunette, blonde? You go, I don't know. You know, dealer's choice. And then he just sends some sluts to your room. Also, what does it mean that you're treated like, quote, a hanging piece of meat? I'm sorry, slab?
Slab of meat.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
I don't know.
That's just the, you know what that is? That's some crap that she read in like a Betty Friedan book, and she's just reciting it. That's a phrase that she heard Catherine McKinnon say one time.
The problem with guys who do stuff like this, though, is that it's almost pathological. It has nothing to do with logic.
But your statement right there just assumes that he did it, is the thing. Like, the way you phrase it. You say, the problem with guys who do like this, as you were actually pointing at the news story. As though there's any evidence that he did it.
He might not have done it. But then again, you don't know he didn't. And honestly...
Is that how things work in this country now, Don? I don't know he didn't do it.
Well, I am responding to you trying to come up with some logic that the fact that he probably didn't do it because it would be illogical for him to behave in this manner.
It just seems like more work.
Yeah, well, look at Hugh Grant, for God's sake. You know, you think Hugh Grant really needs to pick up a hooker, like, on the street?
Hooker with a penis, though, harder to find. That's not a thing you can just get out of the Yellow Pages. And you don't want to call your coach and say, send me a hooker with a penis.
I don't think Divine Brand have a penis?
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Danny Bonaducci.
And Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
How weird that there's two of those.
Yeah.
All right, no, fair enough. Okay.
No,
I'm sorry, the penis thing. I was blinded by penis.
Hugh Grant just decided that, you know, rather than go to a bar and meet, you know, a lady or call his agent or just call a reputable escort service, he just decided to pick up some hooker on the street because there isn't a logic to it. The penis wants what the penis wants, Rick Emerson.
Well, okay, yeah, but at least with the Hugh Grant thing, you can make the argument that, like, it's an impulse buy. You know, like the end of aisle, like sort of, like a display of Life cereal or something when you're going through Safeway. Driving along, she looks pretty hot. Whereas we're here, it's like Brett Favre is actually having to track them down and get them to come by, where it seems like it's just
It again seems like just poor impulse control. He's got their phone number because they're massage therapists for the team. So he's got their phone number, and he's just picking up his phone and sending off text messages.
He's just dialing for dollars.
Yeah.
Just figuring that, like, eventually somebody will go, well, okay, I was on my way to Domino's anyway, so
yeah.
Sure, why not? All right. Wait, do we have audio from that?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Oh, hey, this is a good time to mention, apropos of nothing you've just heard, that Squires Electric helps to provide Legion of News for you each and every weekday, Monday through Friday from noon till 1 right here at Cascadia.fm. Squires Electric can be reached at 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. You can also go online and find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com. They can help you at every stage of your building's construction. If you're building a house, you know, maybe you're looking towards this coming spring, or you've got a business and you're either building the structure from the ground up, or you're hollowing it out and stripping it down and then starting it again, or whether you're just moving into a different building and you want to make sure the last guy wasn't like some maniac who set some sort of fire trap that's just going to immolate you in the future.
Or maybe you're building a space plane.
A space plane, sure, that. Or maybe you need like brand new broadband because your text messages to the various massage therapists around town who you were hoping to get some service from later in the evening, it's just not connecting. It's like you just get that wheel that just spins forever, and then you're sitting there and you just end the evening frustrated.
Or maybe somebody gave you a giant free TV and you spent your entire evening trying to figure out how to make all the different wires go to the places they're supposed to go.
Oh, please tell me that's true.
Well, no, it was easier than that, actually, but, there was a little bit of that.
Well, if you are that guy, you can call Squires Electric if you're any variation of that guy. If you're building something, if you're remodeling, if you're adding something on your home, if you're just taking over, a building, you're taking over a structure, you're going to be moving your business into there, whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, wiring of any kind at all, they can make your life easier. You sometimes don't think about it until you need it maintained or fixed or installed. That's when you call Squires Electric, 503-252-1609 or SquiresElectric.com. That is SquiresElectric.com. All right, here's Don Taylor.
It's time for entertainment news.
Awesome. Here's your entertainment news for Tuesday, Legion of News.
Former Skid Row frontman Sebastian Bach and his wife Maria Burke are getting a divorce. The pair, who have three children together, were married for 18 years and have been separated since April. We've tried to work things out for the sake of our family, but it has become apparent that our differences at this point are irreconcilable, Bach told TMZ. Because, you know, when you got something personal going on in your life...
That's where you go.
That's where you go. In 2011, we go our separate ways. Also separating from his wife after 20 years, John Mellencamp.
Is that Ellen what's-her-name?
Elaine. His rep said that the couple are proud of their 20 years together and are very happy with their accomplishments as parents and as family. He would not confirm if the couple were officially divorcing.
See, now the 18, 19, 20-year marriage where it's like they bust up, like to me, it's not, what am I trying to say? Not that I respect that. That's the wrong way to put it, because that makes it sound like I just sort of, by default, think the divorce is good. But that's where, you can say that, you know, like they gave it the college try, you know, and it went. Or as John Cleese said when he busted up with, what was her name? The woman that played Polly on Fawlty Towers.
Yes.
But you know, they talked about their divorce, and you know, and Cleese, and actually Connie Booth, I think is her name.
Yes.
And they both said the same thing in separate interviews. They said, you know, the thing that nobody, not like everybody roots to get divorced. Like you don't get married going like, I hope this lasts 20 years and then falls apart. But they said, you know, what nobody ever talks about is the marriage where like you get together and you have X number of great years, and then at a certain point you're gonna go, well, you know, I'm kind of done. You done? Great. All right. And then you know, and then you split up, and it isn't like a huge drawn out rancorous affair. So whenever I see a couple that is split up after 20 or 25 or 30 years, I always, it's not usually true, but I always hope that it's one of those things where they are kind of parting on the, you know, on the best of terms. Which, and especially with a guy like Mellencamp, it's like when Tom Petty got divorced a few years back, and he'd been married to Jane Petty for like, I don't know, like 39 years or something, just some insane, because he's older than freaking Methuselah.
Yeah.
And you sort of like, you want to think he's a good guy, but with couples like that, the longer they're married, the more I assume that there is like just, you know, that you just kind of wake up and go, I'm kind of done. But okay, let's go.
Yeah, it's not like, never mind. Mila Kunis also has split up with Macaulay Culkin. They were together for 7 years, and they weren't married, but they just split up.
If it makes you feel better, I never knew they were together, so it's like it didn't happen.
What else do I get? Oh, I had this magazine. This is entertainment related. I have this trashy magazine that comes to my house that I never realized I subscribed to called OK, and I don't know who half the people are in it, but apparently, Rock of Love.
Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels is getting married.
Yeah.
To the woman that he's known for 17 years and already has two kids with.
Yeah.
After all of that Rock of Love nonsense and him sleeping with all the skinky women and going on the bus trip with them all and making them all compete for him and stuff.
I see nothing wrong with this scenario in any way.
He's marrying this woman he's already known for 17 years and has two children with.
Good for you, Brett Michaels.
What's she thinking? I don't know. Anyway, actor Kevin James, last seen with Adam Sandler in Grown Ups, which I had to see for work, and it was...
Do you get to write that stuff off?
No, because I get paid to go see the movie. So you can't write off your time.
Wait, in other words, do you have to buy a ticket?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, never
God,
mind.
God, no.
All right.
He partners with Vince Vaughn for a buddy comedy called The Dilemma. Directed by Ron Howard, The Dilemma centers on Ronnie, played by Vince Vaughn, a bachelor who considers telling his best friend and business partner, played by James, that his wife, Winona Ryder, is committing adultery with a younger man, played by Channing Tatum. I'm already confused. The Dilemma contains a great deal of physical comedy, and James talks about two of his personal comedic heroes, Jackie Gleason. What? Oh, I love this. James talks about two of his personal comedic heroes, Jackie Gleason, Chris Farley, and John Belushi.
That's fantastic. Apparently two of them share, molecular space.
Apparently
maybe.
He was fond of chubby men.
Maybe one of them sublets a space. Maybe John Belushi sublets space inside his stomach to Chris Farley.
Yes.
All right, this is Kevin James here.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, I love being physical. You know, all my heroes like Gleason and Belushi and Chris Farley. It's not good that they're all dead, is it? But all these guys were, you know, big guys who could move gracefully. And those are guys that I like to, you know... Emily, and you know what I love to do physical comedy, you know, so if it's action, even real action, I would love to do, you know, it's just surprising. Anytime you surprise somebody by doing something that they don't expect you to do.
Waiting for a thought.
You know, you're in the territory that
waiting for a complete sentence. No, it's just nothing but fragments, kids.
That's got nothing.
That's awesome.
He was talking about his personal comedic heroes there.
Wow. That just started and went nowhere.
There was just not a thought in his head, was there? There was nothing.
It was just like a big bag of Bananagrams tiles that formed nothing.
Bored to death actor Jason Schwartzman and his wife Brady Cunningham welcomed baby daughter Marlo Rivers into the world on December 4th. This is the first child for the couple who've been married since July 2009.
I dig the name Marlo for a chick, though. That's a cool name.
Marlo Schwartzman is like a very cool name.
It really is. All right. I bet she's going to be hot. Here's the thing, because I don't know what his wife looks like, but let's assume that she's, you know, reasonably attractive. And he's, you know, here's the thing about Jason Schwartzman is that he has, as somebody once said about me, he's grown into his features a little bit. Mm. You go back and you look at him through the years. It's not like he's a conventionally handsome man, but he's not nearly as gangly and weird looking as he used to be.
But his hair always looks greasy.
Always.
And that drives me crazy.
Always. Also, that show, by the way, is terrible. That Amused to Death, Bored to Death, whatever
Bored
the hell.
Dead. Yeah.
Boy, can I tell you?
I heard such good things about that, and I tried to watch it. And Ted Danson is admittedly very good on it, but man, I just no interest. No interest in it at all.
And everybody describes it that way. Everybody says, well, I tried to like it. I mean, often, repeatedly, I watched it like 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row, and it's like Zach Galifianakis is the only thing that's good about it. Ted Danson is good when he's on screen. But that is where, like, the sum of that show is so much less than its parts. You know what I mean? It's like there's tiny little things about it that ought to make the whole good, and then they just don't. Yeah. All right. Well, on that, we should...
we're done.
All right. Let's just a little... All right. The Rick Emerson Show is next hour, ladies and gentlefolk. That's coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com, featuring your Hick Watch, your Clown Watch, your Top 5, and more, plus the first installment of Name That Snack. That is all coming up at rickemersonshow.com, where you can be amused by Don Taylor and myself for hours more every day for the low, low cost of just 32 cents per weekday. A giveaway, a steal. Thank you for joining us. We come your way each and every weekday from noon until 1 from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon, at the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. Thank you for listening. We will see you again tomorrow for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Have a fantastic Tuesday, won't you?